Well, good day, and thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to learn about Bitachon again. It is Tesvav Tammuz, 15th of Tammuz, Tafshin Pei Gimel, July 4th, 2023. And we are at Vad number, Yayin Hara, 55. And Baruch Hashem, thank you. If you've been here every single time, then by the time you're finished today, you will have learned about Bitachon and shared in me giving myself Musar for 1,650 minutes, L'Yayin Hara, which is the equivalent of 27 and a half hours. So more than 24 hours, Baruch Hashem, like 3.5. And I'll tell you what happened to me. About 24 hours ago, I said to myself, I feel like I'm in the middle of a few different battles going on, emotional and other types of conflicts, not real conflicts with people, inner conflicts, and a few different challenges and struggles, and I don't think I'm going to be able, within 24 hours, just literally get myself together to learn about Bitachon. How on earth am I going to do it? And then I said to myself, what do you mean? Hiha no senes. That's exactly the point. That's why I need to do this and keep going. And Baruch Hashem, the Maharsha explains in the Gemara Makos Dat Yad Aleph that we've talked about before, when the Gemara says, Baderech Sha'ar Mota Lelech Ba'amolichin Oso, and you're familiar with that Gemara, in the way that a person wishes to go, they bring him in that way. And usually the Gemara is rendered as, when a person insists on pursuing a certain course of action, then Hashem helps the person to continue in that way, to progress and to move forward. But remember the Maharsha who asks, well, why is it plural? If it's Molichin or so, they bring him that way. Often, yes, the Shamayim or Hashem Kaviyachol is used in that Lashon, but the Maharsha says it's very precise. What happens when we're persistent with thoughts and statements and actions? What happens when we stick with something, with Machshava, Dibur, and Maaseh? What happens is we create a Malach with every single thought and statement and action. Based on the Mishnah and Avos. It's a proklit. You create this malach, looking at the positive side, and those malachim whom we create continue to pull us. First, they begin to pull us in that way, and we're pulled more and more in that direction. This is what appears in the realm of nature as habits. And that's why it says that hergel nase tevasheni. I've seen that in Achronim, that habit becomes second nature. How does habit become second nature? What are the inner workings? It is those, it's the malachim we create, oodles and oodles, millions of malachim. They're not confined by time and space. They go with us everywhere, and this is a separate study, but they continue to pull. They're pulling me by the arm. So I'm thinking 24 hours ago, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. And it could be happening to any person. It could be, I don't know how I will get myself to sit and learn. I don't know how I'll fulfill my learning quotas. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that chesed or to teach this class and have patience for it. I don't know how I'll do it. And then I realize, wait a minute. I've done this many times. I want to do this. I talked about doing it. I've created, Baruch Hashem, many, many malachim, so many. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem created something called habit. And that's called malachim also. They continue to pull me this way. And Baruch Hashem, we're here again. And this could happen every time. I don't know about you. If it happens, it's totally normal. I don't know how I'm going to continue with whatever the endeavor is, whatever the undertaking is. But Baruch Hashem, I'm here today. And I decided, though, that maybe one of the reasons that I'm hesitating is because I'm not celebrating enough. Let's celebrate. Celebrate what? Let's celebrate a milestone of Bli Ayin Hara, 55 Vod gatherings, and you might say 55, kind of a obscure number. No. 55. That's Nun He, but that's also Hey Nun. What is Hey Nun? It's Hine, behold. It's absolute reality. I'll prove it to you from Chumash that the word Hein, it delineates, it expresses absolute MS, unadulterated truth and reality and imminence in a very positive way. Certainly can be a positive. And then I decided to celebrate this milestone. I'm going to backtrack a little bit and look at the number for each VOD, starting from just four sessions ago, number 52. And I'm going to talk about the number for each one, because everything in reality is Lashon HaKodesh. It's the letters, it's the gematrias. We know that. And therefore, if we gave, let's say, VOD number 52, that would be Nun Beis, and number 53 is Nun Gimel, number 54 is Nun Dalet, number 55 is Nun Hey. And starting from Nun Beis, I'm going to backtrack and discuss the significance and the celebratory nature that we can experience for having come to these milestones. And maybe when we accentuate the positive and the joyousness of every occasion that we accomplish, then that also helps propel us, that we can move further all the time. It's something that I don't do enough, because the Yetzer Hara says accentuate the negative. That's the Yetzer Hara. So let's look back. Let's start from Nun Beis, number 52. What lesson of bitachon is there from Vav number 52, which was 4 weeks ago? That's the letter Nun Beis. Right when I thought of Nun Beis, I thought of a Gemara Bava Kama. It's in the sixth parak, parak HaKones. And also it's a pasuk that some people say, a pasuk in Yeshaya, after Shabbos, V'yitem Lecha, they say this pasuk. But the Gemara explains this pasuk. The word is Niv, Nun Yud Beis. Of course, the Yud is in there, but it's certainly part of the word Niv and Niva. What is the meaning of Nun Beis, the 52, Vav 52, 4 weeks ago? What is the burst of inspiration that we can have from having that Vav? So the Gemara says, in the sixth parak, Parak HaKoneh, Saf Samach Amarao, Mandatane Niva Lo Mishtabesh. Now, it was talking about damages. It was talking about blowing fire, and damaging things. But it said, Mandatane Niva Lo Mishtabesh, Dichsiv. You're not making a mistake if you explain this word as Niva in the Gemara. We will not go into this Gemara. It's about damages. But the point that we have to extract is about this word, which is the Shorish, like Nun Beis. Dichsiv, it's in Yeshaya Nun Zion, your test. Borei Niv Sifasayim. Hashem creates the Niv, the Nun Yud Beis of the lips. What is Nun Yud Beis, which is like the word Nun Beis? It's the Shorish similar, because it's pronounced similarly. Rashi explains Niva, don't worry, if the Yud phases you, it'll get better, because we don't have any more obstacles of what seems to be an extra letter, starting from Nun Gimel, Nun Daud, and Nun Hey. But it should not pose a problem anyway, because this is the way that things could be learned. You're able to take inspiration from a Shorish like this. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Kisha'odam medaber, when a person talks, he moves his lips, beruach yotze, and wind comes out, breath comes out, and that ultimately could, the damage, sugi there was about damages, but it's a lashon of dibor. Nun beis is lashon of dibor. Again, just to rephrase what Rashi said, paraphrase it, that the avir, the air that comes out from a person's mouth, when a person speaks and he moves his lips, it's called niv. If you look in Sfarim, they explain it's like the word Niva or Navi. It's a language of speaking. So therefore, blowing on coals, the Gemara was talking about, is called Nivoi. What does it have to do with Bitachon? I said to myself, oh, Borei Niv Sifasayim, the breath of the lips. Vad number 52, 4 weeks ago, Nun Beis, what's it about? It's about speech. It's about the breath that comes out of our mouths. What is one of the major causes of anxiety? Why are people worried? Why are people often miserable? It's because of what we say. I said one word too many, or the way that I said it, talking too much. As we know, the pasuk says, "Barov dvarim boyach dal pasha." When a person says too many words, then sin will not be avoided. And there's so many chazal about it. Call mar dvarim, mar bechet. The more that we talk, the more we cause problems. And we cause grief to ourselves and frustration. Talking too much can cause anxiety. Sometimes it's overhishtadlus. We've talked about this before. Oh, I'm thinking of how do I solve a problem, and I'm anxious about it. I'm worried about it. So what do? I'll call this person. I'll call that person. I'll make sure that that detail is perfect. I'll make sure that this part is going to be completed on time. Wait a minute. I stop for a second and say, do I really need to be making all these phone calls? Is it overkill? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Not always. But sometimes it is. That's too much ishtadlus going on. Saying too many words, that causes anxiety. So one strategy, I say to myself, to cut down on anxiety, we're working on bitachon, the opposite of daiga and worry. So what promotes worry many times is talking too much, having to have the last word, having to perfect everything by what I say, to try to smooth things over. Maybe it'll look like a rough edge, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the one who smooths it over. So I tell myself, be patient. Remember patience, the first mita in Maseches Avos, have a mesunim badin. Be patient and be silent sometimes, and then things will solve. Hashem will take care of them. And that's the solution many, many times. So that was my lesson that I got for myself from Vad Nun Beis, which was 52. I told you I'm going to have a little fun today with numbers, because this is a celebration of reaching a milestone of Nun Hey, of 55, behind her. So that was the Nun Beis. It's about Dibor. Don't talk too much, I tell myself. Naomi said, well, I'm not supposed to be silent. Of course I'm not supposed to be. It's known that the Chafetz Chaim was a talkative person. He's the master of Hilchos Lashon Hara, the Shmiras Lashon. He knew how to talk, when to talk. Rabbi Saul Salanter, remember, he was once observed smoothing, it looked like, with somebody about some mundane, secular, worldly matter, whatever it was. And they said, what's going on? He said, because this person needed me to talk to him. It was therapeutic for him. He needed somebody to schmooze with. So I zeroed in on what interests him, and I talked to him a long time about it. Of course there's a place for talking, sometimes talking a lot. But there's also a place for silence. For myself, I need to tell myself that say a couple fewer words and maybe there'll be more shalom, and then there's less anxiety that way. That's just one strategy. And it has to do with the word niv, nun vez, which is borei niv sifasayim. It's the wind that comes out of our lips, and that will help us to get back on track with bitachon and have less anxiety and misery in life. And then I said to myself, okay, let's move on now. Let's go over to Nun Gimel, number 53. What possibly could Nun Gimel mean? And regarding that, I recalled a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin, which I learned for the first time when I was a teenager. And there, we have a very fascinating Gemara. It talks about what different Chachamim would recite after their Shemoneh Esrei, like Elokai Netzor, but it also discusses what some scholars, what Talmidei Chachamim would say to each other as a bracha when they would depart from each other. And listen to this beautiful Gemara, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph in Brachos. Kihavu miftrei rabbanan mibei Rebbe Ami. When the Chachamim would depart from the house of Rebbe Ami, for the army law, there are those who say, mibei Rebbe Chanina, which from Rebbe Chanina's base medrash, Amri le hachi. They would say this to each other. To quote the Ritva states, what do you mean they would say this to each other? Habrachos ha'ele, I'm reading you the Ritva, one of the premier Rishonim. Mevarchin kol echad l'chaveru. Each one would bless his friend with these following blessings. I'm going to read you a little bit of it. The first thing they would tell each other, Olamecha tira bechayecha. You should see your world in your lifetime. Be'acharisecha l'chai ha'olam haba. And your end should be for life in the world to come. What is the meaning of Olam Chatira Bechayecha? You should see your world in your lifetime. And what does it have to do with the Bitachon Vaz? Let's define it first. And I have to acknowledge that my Rebbe for this Gemara, because people really need to be given credit. And this was in the summer when I learned this first. In the Camp Manova, when I was a waiter, I was in the Shir with Rav Tzvi Bash, who was a Talmud of Rav Schneer Cutler, and he taught us this Gemara. And Rashi explains, Olam Chatira Bechayecha, you should see, you should witness, you should experience your world during your lifetime. What does it mean? Kol Tzorachecha Timtza. You should find all of your needs. And you find all of your needs. That right there is a point of bitachon. It's possible for a person to find all of his or her needs. It's a bracha. So that means that I don't have to be needy. If I think I'm needy, oh, I'm needy for more money. I'm needy for better relationships. I'm needy for better health. That doesn't have to be that way. Maybe I should refocus and realize maybe I'm not needy. Maybe I have everything that I'm supposed to have. Is it perfect, like objectively perfect, according to world standards? Might it might not be, but that doesn't concern me. I can view my life that I have everything that I need. And if you look in the Eitz Yosef, he also defines this statement, but you see where we're headed very soon. What does that have to do with Nun Gimel? Ah, you're probably wondering that. Remember I told you I'm going through each VOD number starting from 52 in case you joined us in progress. I'm up to 53 now. What on earth does it have to do with 53? We're getting there. The Eitz Yosef explains, Olam chatira b'chayecha, you should see your world during your lifetime. You should have a fulfilling life. Again, I'm going to emphasize to myself that we are able to have a fulfilling life, a life of joy and tranquility. It's not just, oh, I'm going to have to wait till after 120 years. That's not what it's supposed to be. It says the Torah gives us serenity and a peace of mind. We just have to tap into it. It doesn't take even that much effort. It might be a daily quest, but it's here. We are able to have a life of quality and serenity. It really is up to us. What do we do with our circumstances? So the Eitz Yosef explains, Ki rabim nizonim avolam hazeh miderech chesed. What were these chachamim blessing each other? Many people are fed and sustained, they're nourished in this world, from the chesed. They don't really deserve it, which is also beautiful. We talked about it last time. Remember animals? Hashem gives food to all these animals. It's chesed. There are some people who also don't deserve to be nourished and supported, but Hashem gives it to us anyway. That gives me a warm feeling that even if I don't deserve it, Hashem's going to take care of me. I would rather deserve it. That's what the bracha is here. The bracha is deserve it. Avo hatzadikim nizonim miperos ma'aseihem shehem chelkam. Ah, says the Eitz Yosef. What does it mean you should see your world in your lifetime? Olam chatira bechayecha, which every one of the chachamim in this base medrash blessed each other with. That you shouldn't be a chesed case, the way that he's explaining it here. Righteous people are nourished and supported because they actually worked hard enough. It's from the fruits of their own labor. And that's their portion, the Eitz Yosef says. Alzeh Amru, about this they said, Olam chatira bechayecha. You should see your world in your lifetime. Leos nizon miperos olama, olam echa, your world that you've created. We can create our world. We're building all the time. So what I can do, I can work as hard as I can. I can learn Torah. Yes, whatever I do is way, way short and minuscule compared to what a person could do. And maybe to really deserve it, that's not really possible. But I could do my best. And then to a degree, I actually kind of deserve it. That's what it says here. Like the Pasuk says, you can eat from the labor of your hands, you can deserve it. That's what they were giving a bracha to each other. You can deserve it as much as a human being can. That feeling is such a rewarding feeling. It's much more satisfactory than only getting it because I don't deserve it. But I can have a life like this that doesn't have to be a miserable life. It could be a very pleasant life, a serene one. Not just because Hashem is giving me a free present. However, even if we have that, your end will be for life in the world to come. I'm reading you the Eitz Yosef on the Gemara. He explains it, that the principal reward is guarded, is kept for the world to come. The punchline's coming soon, folks. Don't worry, because we have to relate this to the Nun Gimel somehow. A couple of people have come over to me over the years, or they've mentioned in class, and they said, well, what happens if I am having a very tranquil life? Should I be afraid that, like, I'm losing my olam haba chas v'shalom? No, we see that it's not true. The Gemara actually talks about it in another place. There's something called tzaddik v'tovlo. You could be a totally righteous person, and you're also having satisfaction in this world. It's no reason to be alarmed. And they gave each other a bracha. You should work hard. You should arrive at the level that you deserve it as much as a human being can. And you will also have, though, olam haba, the principal reward, and the delight will be kept for after 120 years. But this Gemara has a totally different explanation, which has everything in the world to do with VOD number 53, which is what we're up to now, explaining the numbers. And remember I told you we're going to do Nun Gimel? Because Nun Gimel is Gimel Nun. That's Gan, like Gan Eden. And I remember hearing that this Gemara isn't just talking about the way Rashi explained it. Olam chatira bechayecha. You will see in this world all your needs, and it'll be olam echa, like the Eitz Yosef said. It'll be what you deserve, the fruits of your labor. It's more than that. It's otherworldly. The Chachamim were blessing each other. Olam chatira b'chayecha. It's a different dimension, a different approach. You will actually experience Gan Eden. Listen to the Ritva. The Ritva says this chat. He's one of the main Rishonim. The Ritva says, Olam chatira b'chayecha. And it's on the Gemara, Bracha Safiyat Zayin Amar Aleph. You will see your world in your lifetime, Pirush. The explanation is the following. Kasher Yigia HaAdam. When a person will reach the epitome of wisdom, when a person will labor and toil and delve and discover the wisdom of the Torah, which I wrote myself a note, certainly can include the realization of the need to work on midos like bitachon, to improve and polish our character traits, our midos, especially working on bitachon and emunah and simcha, tachlis achakma, dome la'olam haneshamos. It becomes similar to the world of the souls. That's Gan Eden. Shehem sechel nivdal, which is a separate, different type of intellect. It's a different realm and a different dimension. What were the chachamim blessing each other? A person can actually arrive at a taste of Gan Eden. There's something we can look forward to. Maybe we already have it sometimes. There's intangible joy. We've discussed it before. The Aruch HaTzaddikim talked about it. But according to the Ritva, that's what this Gemara is saying. We can actually have an inkling of the flavor of the Olam HaNeshamos, the world of the souls, which is Gan Eden. These brachos, every chacham gave each other in that base medrash, working on bitachon, coming to the tachlis achachma, we can experience the nun gimel, which is the Gan Eden. That's what I think about when I think of vad number 53, which is nun gimel. And this gemara is our inspiration that olam haba, which is the delight of Gan Eden, the ecstasy of Gan Eden, is actually attainable in this world. That was Vat 53, the Gimel Nun, which is the Nun Gimel. We can experience it in this world. But only through work. Everybody knows we don't attain things, we don't accomplish, we don't feel euphoric unless we really work at it. And then we have that feeling. We often arrive at that sensation. That's Nun Gimel. That was number 53. We're up to last week already. So just to summarize, we talked about Nun Beis, that the way we talk or are silent, when silence is in order, that can alleviate anxiety and worry, because if we say less, we avoid many problems. Sometimes we have to say more, but very often we have to say less. If we think of how many times did I cause myself problems in this world, how many times did I get embroiled in something, it's because I was talking when I shouldn't have. I could have said less. I could have emailed less. Maybe the email that a person wrote or the text message, don't send it. One of the Chachamim, there's a story, once I had this chus to give a Shabbos Shuva drasha about anger, and I think it was Reb Eli Yalopian, someone in his door, one of his children did something, and he needed to rebuke him. It says he waited 2 weeks to say a word to him. 2 weeks! Why 2 weeks? Because he said, I was still angry until then. A person wrote a text or an email out of anger. I wonder how many times that happens. Well, wait a minute. Don't send it. Just don't. Wait 2 weeks to send it, and then you won't want to send it anymore. How many times do we say something, and then we regret it? My Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Wein, told us, and he was a Rosh Hashiva, not only of the Beis Medrash and Smicha divisions, but also of the Masista divisions of his yeshiva. And we know that children and teenagers are definitely a work in progress, and sometimes he would be exasperated. And he told us that he would write a note to the parents of that bachur, exactly how he feels, puts it in the drawer, and never would send that note. And he had, I don't know how many, I hope his drawer wasn't too full. But, and then eventually rips them up. So Niv is the Nun Beis, Borei Niv Sifostoyim, as we said before, Hashem creates the wind of the lips, which is having to do with Dibor. We can absolutely avoid situations of stress and sadness and misery by speaking less. and sending fewer emails or text messages that are angry, and only send the ones with a smile. And then there was the Nun Gimel, Olam Chatira Bechiecha. According to the Ritva, the Pshat is that you can actually experience your world, which is Gan Eden, and that's the Nun Gimel. That's the Gan that we can have in this world. We all should be Zochet to feel that Gan Eden. Obviously, we have ups and downs. We have Mi Bira Amikta, the Igra Rama, Chazal say. Sometimes we feel that we go from a deep pit to a high roof. And it should only be that direction. But we certainly fluctuate. But that's the Gimel Nun, the Gemara Bracha Staf Yed Zayin, Olam Chatira Bechayecha. And now we've arrived, after doing 52 and 53, we're going to talk about the importance of Vad 54, which was last week. The number 54, that's a Nun Dalad. And today we're just going to start it, because there is a lot of fun with this one. What is Nun Dalad? What does it spell? Can you think of a word in Chumash that's spelled Nun Dalet? I bet you can. You got it. Parshas Beshalach, Perek Tesvav. If you didn't get it yet, did that give it away? That's right, Oz Yashir. Talks about the waters of the Yamsuf. Nitzvu kamo neid, nozlim. The flowing waters stood like a wall. Rashi says, what's a neid? Kitargum, I like its translation. Kishur, a shur, is a wall. Kachoma. What does it have to do with bitachon? Bitachon vad, number 54. Sometimes we need to stand firm like a wall. That's exactly what we're trying to accomplish. To not be, I always think, am I jello? Am I soup? I'm supposed to be more like a brick when it comes to bending in front of adversity or challenge. I should be able to stand tall and not be affected by it. Remember the Aruch HaTzaddikim said? A person shouldn't have to be moved or changed by things that are thrown his way. So this thing about being like a wall, the whole Klal Yisrael is compared to this. And we're going to end with this thought today. We've already summarized the Nun Beis and the Nun Gimel. And as far as the wall, we know that it's in Shir HaShirim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Ches. Zos Kol Maseich. Hashem says, your posture, it is said to Klal Yisrael that your posture as a nation is Dom Saleh Samar. It's compared to a date palm tree. What is the characteristic, one of them at least, of a date palm tree? And the Mefarshim go different ways, but look at Rashi. Noi kol mosech, the beauty of your posture. Bimei Nebuchadnezzar, for example. In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, shekol ha'umos, in the Golos Bavel, all the nations, hayu koros v'noplos lifnei ha'tzelem. They were all bending their knees, bowing down in front of the idol. Ve'ata omedes, the koma zakufa. And this is the positive koma zakufa. Positive connotation of an upright posture, of a stubborn, upright stance, an erect spiritual position where you don't bend and you don't give in. Katamar hazeh, like this date palm tree. Tall, proud, to keep the Torah and the mitzvot, and to be unbending. So we'll end with this thought today. But this is the first half of the Nun Dalet. The Nun Dalet is that when things come my way, and we've said many times, based on the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim, how he summarizes Eov, which the Gemara Bava Basra says is the story of every person, according to the popular pshat that the Rambam favors. We have challenges and difficulties with relationships and with livelihood, with parnasa, and also with health. We should have none of them, Be'ezras Hashem. But when they do come, we can stand like a nade, a Nun Dalet. Like a wall, like a date palm tree. Like it says, that's Klal Yisrael's posture, as it says in Shir HaShirim. So today we talked about the significance of the numbers of 52, 53, and we began to talk about 54. And we have some fun coming up in Emirat Hashem next week, because I have a great story to tell you about the 54. And we'll complete that idea and move to the 55 Emirat Hashem. Have yourselves a magnificent week. Thank you for joining us today.